Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, the new Global Pulse survey, the new CEO frontier leading in the post-COVID-19 world, was just released by YPO, a global leadership community of almost 30,000 chief executives in more than 140 countries. Fielded from the 21st to the 24th of September and drawing over 2,500 responses from member chief executives in 100 countries, the new survey explores CEOs' 12-month outlook on the economy, their revenues, fixed investments, and workforce. We're speaking today to Mark Bilton, who's managing director at Thought Patrol, who's been a leadership advisor with 20 years of experience leading six companies. He's led transformational change in many sectors and is internationally recognized for excellence in business transformation. Thanks for joining us today, Mark.
My pleasure, Howie. Great to be here.
So let's talk about the findings in the survey. Things are kind of looking up, or people feel that way. What do you think?
This survey was obviously across the globe. So we do have some regional distinctions. But overall, it's less negative than it was if you take a global perspective.
What about things at Thought Patrol? How were you affected when this all started?
Well, I was actually in California when it hit, and I was about to facilitate a large conference there with many people from around the world coming. Mm. And it got cancelled while I was there 2 days before we were due to go. So it wasn't an auspicious start. And I spent a lot of time with leaders, taking leaders away and working with leaders. And so a lot of it was based on taking people away to a nice location, and all face to face. So quite a challenging start. So it's been interesting to pivot that and to embrace new technology and just to deliver programs in a different way.
How did you deal with it? Your staff needed to be away from you too. How did you keep everyone motivated?
Yeah, I think there is an issue with relating to remote staff. I mean, this is my sort of post-corporate life, so I have a relatively small team, but I have some local and some in the Philippines. And, so I'm used to working with remote, but it is different. I think when people are under pressure, they're in a crisis, certainly they need a lot more communication and a lot more sort of reassurance and a lot more transparency about what's happening. Their ability to be able to change and pivot, I think, becomes faster as everyone recognizes there is a crisis on. So it was relatively easy for us to move our products online and to engage our clients, which are leaders from all around the world, in an online environment as opposed to face-to-face.
Mm. How do you think business leaders have dealt with this kind of upheaval? You've had the advantage, so to speak, of a smaller team. Some business leaders are dealing with thousands in the company.
Yes, I used to run Gloria Jean's global business running 40 countries. So I'm glad I'm not sitting in that position right now. Mm. It seems to have brought out true character. I think some have coped with it very well, others not so well. And I think the distinctive for me is leadership style. So if you're a very traditional industrial relation sort of command and control type methodology for your leadership, then you will have really struggled during this time. If your natural tendency is to be more open and collaborative, transparent, and you have a more organic, authentic approach to leadership, then much more easy to pivot, much more engagement with people, more easy to work remotely, and I think inherently more agile. And that's been a key thing, I think, for leaders is those that are locked down and into very hierarchical structures have struggled to move fast enough. Those that are agile, engaged, and a bit more flat leadership style and structure, company structure, have been able to move more quickly and change and adapt more easily.
So your work at Thought Patrol, Mark, is in the business of kind of doing that, making the workplace more humanized, so to speak. But in pandemic times or crisis times, so there's something to be said about barking those orders out. Speed is of the essence. Let's just get the work done and deal with it after. What do you reckon?
I think there is a little bit of that, that need for speed, no doubt. I mean, the ability to be able to make decisions quickly, to move organizations quickly, becomes paramount when the environment is changing rapidly, when it's truly dynamic, particularly at the start of this crisis. You do have to move quickly. I don't think that necessarily means barking orders. I think the cycle of collaboration and making a decision and taking the learnings from that has to happen more quickly. So you might do it with a few less people, grab your two or three best people. Hey, what do you think about this? What are you seeing? What do you think? And at least having some level of collaboration, and even two or three heads is better than one. And if your organizational culture has, you know, more trust and has a high level of empowerment, much more likely to make decisions rather than wait for someone else to do so. You know, particularly in large organizations, it's hard to get that. But when there's a crisis, there's so many moving parts. You can't just have one person doing the thinking. You really have to have an organization that can adapt and think for itself to a large degree.
So we talk about leading in a crisis. What do you think can be done better? We've talked about the communication aspect. More of that needs to happen, obviously.
Certainly communication. I don't think you can over-communicate in a crisis.
You know, people. But then I don't need to know what you had for breakfast, Mark.
That's true. You need to know what we're thinking and what we're doing. I think people, you know, they do need reassurance that leadership and management are recognizing the issues, talking to the right people, and willing to flex and change. So agility, I think, becomes paramount. The embracement of technology, I think, has been fairly self-evident. Everybody's had to. We're all doing, you know, we're all on Zoom and we're all embracing technology in new ways. But I think the empowerment and trust piece allows the decision-making process to happen more quickly and easily, you know, much more like a shoal of fish as opposed to something that, you know, takes a long time to turn. That's where the agility really comes from.
With that in mind, though, smaller companies obviously have an easier time. It's easier to turn a speedboat rather than a battleship. Absolutely. What can bigger organizations do, though, leaders of bigger organizations?
Yeah, you know, large organizations can really learn a lot from small ones. I mean, maintaining that entrepreneurial mindset, very client, customer focused, agile, able to move, is really breaking down large organizations into smaller segments, you know, more team-based, more organic, as opposed to sort of highly structured with large layers of decision-making processes. So fast decision-making, clear alignment, and you can't empower people without a good sense of direction and purpose. You know, it's hard to get that in the culture of a large organization sometimes, but breaking it down into more autonomous, smaller groups that are more self-reliant can give you greater flexibility at the front lines of an organization.
We're speaking with Mark Bilton, who's Managing Director at Thought Patrol. So leadership actually kind of looks the same, good leadership in good times and bad.
I think it does. I think the fundamental principles are the same. You know, you mentioned speed. I think that is something that does come to the fore. So the expression of that style might be slightly different, more urgent, closer iterations of communication and decision-making as, you know, things change more quickly. You have to shorten that strategic framework, decision-making framework to be able to get things done in a time-effective way. But I think the principles of collaboration and transparency, of respecting the individual, of being authentic, I think those things remain regardless of what's happening in the environment.
Mark, on your mission to humanize the workplace, to reframe leadership, what's the biggest obstacle you often come up against?
Oh, that's leaders. I was a CEO for 20 years, around six different companies. So it's been a bit of a learning curve for me. But we sometimes as leaders, I think, get in our own way. Mm. Our own press. I think we have to act or be of a hero type leadership where we have all our own answers. We'll have all the, you know, we know everything and we have all the answers, as opposed to sort of being more authentic, you know, embracing a team, helping them be the best they can be, respecting the individual, you know, and genuinely engaging with people in a transparent way, which I think goes a long way. That, you know, I talk about humanizing the workplace, but you know, I think that goes a long way for leaders. We get in our own way. You know, quite often I've seen organizations where the leader's gone away for a couple of months and the organization functions very well without them, which is it's an interesting dynamic.
It could be a testament to the person having put in the right people and it now works as a well-oiled machine.
Absolutely. I think that's very true. I mean, that's the that is the acid test, actually.
That's the hope, right, that you do that. So when you talk about humanizing the workplace, though, Mark, what's so dehuman about it, you think, at this point?
It's a bit of a generality, but I think particularly in larger organizations, people do become, you know, numbers, almost machine-like, very mechanistic approach.
Just a cog in the wheel, right?
Well, you know, absolutely. And I don't think we function particularly well in that way. And certainly, you know, with a controlled environment, you can get compliance, but you certainly don't get commitment. I think, but if you're developing people, you're helping them be the best they can be, you're engaging with them as, you know, flesh and blood and sort of humans, then you're going to get much more productivity. So if you create the right environment, you get more engagement and you get more productivity. And productivity's kind of been the holy grail for a long time, and we've tried to do that through stopwatches and clipboards and control mechanisms, as opposed to releasing people, empowering people, and trusting them to do the right thing.
Are you seeing more organizations and leaders willing to embrace this new way of doing, this different way of doing this? Do you think the pandemic had anything to do with it as well?
Yes, I do. I think prevailing model for the Industrial Revolution has definitely been command and control. And you know what? It served us very well for 120 years. But I think now as we, you know, go through this digital revolution, and that's been exacerbated or accelerated by COVID, in my view, this way of being able to empower people and to engage more transparently and collaboratively and create an organization that can think more for itself and be more agile and flexible has had to happen given the rate of change in the environment. I mean, we're only seeing the start of a digital revolution, but everything is changing so quickly. You can't just have one person doing the thinking and everyone else doing the doing. You do need to have something that is more adaptable. Business models that used to fail 10, 20 years are now failing a lot faster. And so it is challenging those traditional leadership paradigms. And I think with COVID, you know, coming back to the YPO survey, for instance, you know, this flexible work arrangements, the, you know, adoption of more technology, leaner operations, increased agility, these are all things that came out of that survey that chief executives are now saying that as a result of the pandemic, there are long-term benefits with embracing these things. So I think there is a general recognition that, which has been highlighted by COVID, that if we want to move fast enough in a dynamic environment, we do need to embrace more technology, be leaner, be more agile.
And I imagine the up-and-coming workforce will have none of that. Don't be barking orders at me. At least tell me why I'm doing something and let me have a say in the decision-making process, right?
100%. So we have generational change that is driving a need to engage in a different way, which I think is great. My generation, I'm the last of the baby boomers, so we just kind of put up with it. So it is good that new generations are, you know, coming to the workforce with a different mindset. I mean, that's producing its challenges, as I'm sure you're aware. But it's a great thing, I think.
Hey, I'm Gen X. I'm with you, Mark.
Excellent.
Mark Bilton joining us today. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
Howie, my pleasure.
Mark Bilton is Managing Director at Thought Patrol. This has been Career 360 on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.